The distance between Olathe, a suburb of Kansas City, and Holcomb, which might be called the suburb of Garden City, is approximately 400 miles. A town of 11,000, Garden City began assembling its founders soon after the Civil War. An itinerant buffalo hunter, Mr. C.J. Buffalo Jones, had much to do with its subsequent expansion from a collection of huts and hitching posts into an opulent ranching center with razzle-dazzle saloons, an opera house, and the plushiest hotel anywhere between Kansas City and Denver. In brief, a specimen of frontier fanciness that rivaled a more famous settlement 50 miles east of it, Dodge City. Along with Buffalo Jones, who lost his money and then his mind, the last years of his life were spent haranguing street groups against the wanton extermination of the beasts he himself had so profitably slaughtered, the glamours of the past are today entombed. Some souvenirs exist. A moderately colorful row of commercial buildings is known as the Buffalo Block, and the once splendid Windsor Hotel, with its still splendid high-ceilinged saloon and its atmosphere of spittoons and potted palms, endures amid the variety stores and supermarkets as a Main Street landmark, one comparatively unpatronized. For the Windsor's dark, huge chambers and echoing hallways, evocative as they are, cannot compete with the air-conditioned amenities offered at the trim little Hotel Warren, or with the Wheatlands Motel's individual television sets and heated swimming pool. Anyone who has made the coast-to-coast journey across America, whether by train or by car, has probably passed through Garden City, but it is reasonable to assume that few travelers remember the event. It seems just another fair-sized town in the middle, almost the exact middle, of the continental United States. Not that the inhabitants would tolerate such an opinion, perhaps rightly. Though they may overstate the case. Look all over the world and you won't find friendlier people or fresher air or sweeter drinking water. And I could go to Denver at triple the salary, but I've got 5 kids and I figure there's no better place to raise kids than right here. Swell schools with every kind of sport. We even have a junior college. And I came out here to practice law. A temporary thing. I never planned to stay. But when the chance came to move, I thought, why go? What the hell for? Maybe it's not New York. But who wants New York? Good neighbors. People who care about each other. That's what counts. And everything else a decent man needs. We've got that too. Beautiful churches. A golf course. The newcomer to Garden City, once he has adjusted to the nightly after-8 silence of Main Street, discovers much to support the defensive boastings of the citizenry. A well-run public library, a competent daily newspaper, green lawned and shady squares here and there, placid residential streets where animals and children are safe to run free, a big, rambling park complete with a small menagerie. See the polar bears, see Penny the elephant, and a swimming pool that consumes several acres. World's largest free swim pool. Such accessories, and the dust and the winds and the ever-calling train whistles, add up to a hometown that is probably remembered with nostalgia by those who have left it, and that for those who have remained, provides a sense of roots and contentment. Without exception, Garden Cityans deny that the population of the town can be socially graded. No, sir. Nothing like that here. All equal, regardless of wealth, color, or creed. Everything the way it ought to be in a democracy. That's us. But of course, class distinctions are as clearly observed and as clearly observable as in any other human hive. 100 miles west and one would be out of the Bible Belt, that gospel-haunted strip of American territory in which a man must, if only for business reasons, take his religion with the straightest of faces. But in Finney County, one is still within the Bible Belt borders, and therefore a person's church affiliation is the most important factor influencing his class status. A combination of Baptists, Methodists, and Roman Catholics would account for 80% of the county's devout, yet among the elite, the businessmen, bankers, lawyers, physicians, and more prominent ranchers who tenant the top drawer, Presbyterians and Episcopalians predominate. An occasional Methodist is welcomed, and once in a while a Democrat infiltrates. But on the whole, the establishment is composed of right-wing Republicans of the Presbyterian and Episcopalian faiths.